Will the young people come and join me? Good to see everybody. Hey, buddy. How's everybody doing? Good to see you. Good to see you, Lexi. Come on, make room. Make room for Zachy. Move in. You got to move in. Good job. Good to see everybody. Here you go, Josh. Here's a room. Oh, room for everybody. We'll move up into the chancel if we have to. Well, I wanted to talk to you about time, okay? I want to talk to you about time. Does anybody know what time it is right now? That's not the song. Don't burst out into the song. Okay, does anybody know what time it is right now? What time is it? What time is it right now? There's a clock up there. Look, okay, it's about 12 after 9. That's actually, we're right on schedule. I know you don't know it, but we do actually things almost at the same time every Sunday morning. Okay. That's about what time it is. Time is very important. Okay, now what happens? What do you think if the bus comes and gets you to go to school at 8 o'clock in the morning, what would happen if you got up at 8:30? You would miss the bus. Yes, you would. That's exactly right. What if there was a show on television that you really wanted to see and was on at 7 o'clock? Okay, but supper. You doing all right, buddy? Need a Kleenex? No, not yet? Okay. Okay, there's a show that you guys want to watch. It's on at 7 o'clock. Okay, but supper isn't over until 7:15. What would happen? Would you be happy about that?
Oh, yeah.
You'd be happy about that? Oh, I don't think so. Who would be happy about that? Nobody'd be happy about that because you'd miss 15 minutes, wouldn't you, Talia? That's exactly right. You'd miss. And so that wouldn't be happy. So you wouldn't be happy about that. Time is important. Well, today, Paul is talking about time in our scripture lesson today. Did you listen? Did you hear about that? If you were paying attention, you would know that Paul was talking about time. And what he was saying is, you know, is that there's going to be a time when there will be no more time. That people who are Jesus have to choose Jesus as soon as they can. Because every minute that is wasted is a minute too long. Because there's going to come a time, and we don't even know when that is, when time will be done. And you won't have a chance to choose Jesus after that. And that would be very sad if people missed it. And God has so many cool things for us in life when we choose Jesus that every minute we don't choose Jesus, we miss out on the stuff that God has for us, the cool stuff. And so time is very, very important. And so you know what we're going to pray today is that all of us, that we choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior so we don't miss out on the cool stuff that God has for us in life. And because we don't want to miss one minute of that cool stuff. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you have cool stuff for us in this life. And we thank you that through Jesus you want to give us this cool stuff. And we pray that we would not wait one minute longer than we know, so that we can claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We pray that when we know the difference between right and wrong, that we would choose Jesus. And we pray that you would speak to us so that we would know when that time was. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Okay, who has junior church? Oh, look, Miss Tanya's in town. Yes, Miss Tanya. Yay! Now, I'm sure there's a bunch of us here this morning that remember playing tag. Anybody remember playing tag? Well, the worst thing that could happen to you when you played tag is that you were touched and declared it. If you were it, you were out. Okay? You didn't want to be it. You were tagged out. And once you were tagged, you were the outcast. Once you were tagged, what you really wanted to do is get rid of the it title. You wanted to tag somebody else so that they could be it and you were not it. Times have really changed. Because now when you are tagged, you're included. You are part of a movement. To be involved in something bigger and more important than your own Facebook page. That's what happens now when you get tagged. To get tagged today means that you are included in a particular community with particular concerns. To be tagged means that you have been chosen to participate in some extension of your present life. Well, this week's text in Romans is about being tagged. As Christians, those of us who have chosen to be a part of this unique family called the body of Christ, we have all been tagged by a godly challenge. Now, as Christians, we are not called to dump icy water over our heads. As Christians, we are called to dump love on people that we bump into. When you are tagged by Christ's love, you are called to tag as many people as you can with that same amazing, transforming, overwhelming love that Christ has tagged you with. But timing is everything. Now, can you imagine how far the ice bucket challenge would have gone in December? You know, earlier this year, like in January 2014, there were some cold water challenges for various charities. We're like jumping in, you know, the pond, you know, polar bear style, helped raise funds for cancer research. And they had mild success. But it took a good hot summer to make the ice bucket challenge go viral. Now, sure, a few brave souls, or foolish souls, depending on what your perspective is, will jump into ice water when the temperature is below freezing. But it is way more likely that people will volunteer to dump ice water on their heads when it is July or August and the temperature is hovering around 90 instead of 9. Is there anyone here who has not heard of the ice bucket challenge? Well, in case you emerge from a cave on Labor Day, here is kind of what it's like. You're tagged by a friend, where tagged means you are dared to post a video of yourself being doused with a bucket of ice water. I didn't tell you to pull up my video, because I prayed about it. Well, it's all in order to raise awareness and research funds to fund research for a cure for the deadly ALS disease, which is amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. One of our own, Bruce Freed, died of that a couple years ago. Well, before the ice bucket challenge, it turns out only about a quarter of Americans really knew about ALS. Before the past summer, those of us who knew about the disease really mostly knew of it as Lou Gehrig's disease, named after the famous baseball player who publicly announced that he had the disease in 1939. In Lou Gehrig's famous retirement speech at Yankee Stadium, he said that despite his ALS diagnosis that gave him only a couple more years of life to live, that the life he had already lived had made him feel like the luckiest man on the face of the earth. Here is the famous speech in its entirety. It is the shortest famous speech in history.
On May 2nd, 1939, after playing in 2,130 straight games, the Iron Horse Lou Gehrig benches himself. Lou's statistics through April are the worst of his career. He has just one RBI and a 143 batting average. 2 weeks after his benching, Gehrig is diagnosed with the fatal disease ALS and is given 3 years to live. Upon hearing the news, the Yankees schedule Lou Gehrig Appreciation Day for July 4th. Sports writer Shirley Povich recalls the scene.
The day was advertised as a tribute to Lou, There was such an outpouring of fans that every seat at Yankee Stadium was filled. And official after official and player after player of the Yankees came along and spoke into the microphone and spoke of the great affection for Lou and what he meant to them. And Lou was standing by, actually stooped as he was. I saw that day, if you talk about sadness in any gathering, that's the day I saw photographers cry.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. That I might have been given a bad break, but I've got an awful lot to live for. Thank you.
2 years after his speech at age 37, Gehrig succumbs to his illness. His time was cut short, but his legacy will live forever.
75 years later, 75 years have gone by since that speech, and ALS still means that you have 3 to 5 years to live. Unlike cancer or heart disease or AIDS or diabetes, ALS hasn't received a lot of funding for research, and there has been low public awareness of the disease, and it got a bad rap for a while because they were doing stem cell research, and Christians would not get behind the research. Now they have abandoned the embryonic stem cell research, and they do it in a different way to get away from those ethical concerns, although it really didn't have anything to do with Christianity. But the summer of 2014 changed all that. Now all of a sudden, thanks to the Ice Bucket Challenge, a new generation has not only been educated, but joined, to enlisted to join in the fight. The challenge is threefold. Doused on camera to raise awareness of the disease. It actually morphed. Originally it was give money or get wet, but it changed into something different because everybody just wanted to pour ice water on their heads, I guess. I don't know, it goes crazy. It wasn't fun. To be doused on camera to raise awareness of the disease, to give a donation to the cause of curing ALS, and to call out other family and friends to join you in this experience because misery loves company. I just kind of added that. The Ice Bucket Challenge is the equivalent of lining up in gym class and getting picked for a team. You may hate the game, but you never ever not want to get picked. Because the only thing worse than being tagged for the Ice Bucket Challenge is not being tagged for the Ice Bucket Challenge. To not be tagged means that you've been rejected. Now, Labor Day weekend is usually seen as the end of summer. And so I just thought it would be good to have an end of the summer evaluation of the Ice Bucket Challenge. It has made a huge mark on the minds of our kids about a brutal disease, and yes, that's a good thing. But the phenomenal success of the Ice Bucket Challenge tells us something about the world in which we live in today. You see, the way young people learn today is different than when we learned as kids. Clever educators now say they learn epic. It's an epic way to learn. Experience, participating, imagery, and connective. Stick with me a minute. Case in point. Statistically, the ones who were the most exuberant Ice Bucket Challenge participants were middle schoolers, high schoolers, and college age group. Most of them had never heard of Lou Gehrig. They didn't know who Lou Gehrig was before they had been tagged. The Ice Bucket Challenge was non-classroom based, peer-to-peer learning. It was an online experience. Second, the Ice Bucket Challenge was an exercise in online giving. Most, this is us, me, the $40 million raised online has been given online, but in 2013, those of us who are my age group, baby boomers, 42% gave donations through websites. With our kids today, with the Ice Bucket Challenge, 100% gave their donations through the website. The church better sit up and take notice about the way things are changing. Now, third, the ice bucket challenge has its own kind of doctrine about sin. The internet has coined a new word. If you do not give to ALS or some other cause, if you just go through the motions, the term is now slacktivism. Get it? Now, Mark is up on all this stuff. I have to read. Now, we all know what activism is, where you participate in doing good by investing time and effort. The opposite of activism is now slacktivism, where slacktivists give token support by liking something on Facebook or sharing a video, or they pour a bucket of water over their heads so they feel good about something without actually doing anything to help the cause or fix the problem. There is no investment of yourself. It's nice and safe. Arm's length. There are a lot of slacktivists in the world in which we live. Now, the P in EPIC, participation, large caps for Ice Bucket Challenge. In fact, the ritual of being doused with cold water became a kind of baptismal rite for initiation into ALS awareness. By participating in the Ice Bucket Challenge, thousands upon thousands of people have been publicly baptized into a movement with a cause. Like the original baptism of old that connected believers with other believers in a cause. All the Ice Bucket baptized now are going to carry a lifelong awareness about ALS. And ALS isn't the first disease to use public rituals to get people motivated. 3-day Susan G. Komen breast cancer raise walk, a lot of you participate in that. It's a time of bonding and commitment for defeating a terrible disease. There's team walks to raise awareness for Alzheimer's research. There's other walks to raise awareness for suicide prevention, Down syndrome, the assault of women. I could go on and on. But what we may not recognize in all of this is that through the Ice Bucket Challenge, we're being taught how to evangelize in the world in which we live. It's called being tagged. Tagging is evangelizing. Now, I had this video.
We're a very active family and love to run and bike and stuff, and we want him to be a part of that.
The Aldridge family heard about the YMCA Kids Club program and a kids triathlon, and that's when Noah had an idea.
Can I do that?
Then he said, Mom, I want to do this with my brother. And that's where the idea was born, and after that, I think the next day we started training.
At the YMCA, we're in the triathlon club.
Running, biking, and swimming together to get ready. 8-year-old Noah pushing and pulling his brother right along with him.
He's just going to be happy that he did the race.
When the big day came, Team Lucas House was ready to roll.
Go, Lucas!
And Noah was nervous.
Just damn. Because I haven't done
Brecky, come here.
With Lucas before.
So they'll start with a 200-meter swim.
We have this cord thing that goes around me, and it snaps to a raft that Lucas is in, and I just swim.
And swim he did, as hard as he could, with his brother in tow.
Then we bike, and I'm going to be pulling Lucas.
Noah pulled his brother for 3 miles. No easy feat for an 8-year-old.
And then they'll transition to the run, and they'll do a 1-mile run.
And I'm going to be pushing Lucas in the white.
It was exhausting and an incredible show of strength and love for his little brother. Then, the part everyone was waiting for, the finish line.
Extraordinary!
Noah and Lucas felt the thrill of that finish.
Good.
And so did this emotional mom and dad.
Good job, Noah. I'm so proud of you. Good job, Lucas.
Lucas, did you have fun?
You like all the people cheering for you?
They were over the moon for their boys.
We're very proud.
The boys did a great job.
Oh, it was really exciting to watch them, and you know, a little nerve-wracking as parents, but they did so good, and we're so proud of them.
Noah did it for Lucas, an inspiration for all who saw it, and something this family will never forget.
It was a great day.
Noah and Lucas Aldrich, brothers, best friends, and Seven's heroes.
Lucas was born with a brain, genetic brain disease that I can't pronounce, but his older brother, who is 2 years older than him, is his best friend. And even though he can't walk, talk, or feed himself, he can understand. His older brother has actually devoted his life to him. Now, here's the question I have for you. Do you think that the parents had to make that older brother do that with that younger brother? No. They didn't have to make him do that. They have not had to make him be his younger brother's best friend. It just is a natural outpouring of the love he has for his brother. Okay, now this is what I want you to think about. The love that Noah has for his younger brother isn't an effort. He doesn't have to work at it. He doesn't have to muster it up. It is a natural expression of the relationship that he has with his brother. Here's the deal. It is the same kind of love that Paul is describing in this week's epistle lesson, when he reminds Christians to love your neighbor as yourself, and that love does no harm to its neighbor, and therefore love is a fulfillment of the law. Now, Paul is a crusty old Pharisee. He is drilled in the orderliness of Torah law, jumping through hoops. It's all about jumping through hoops, doing the right stuff at the right time. But Paul has been tagged by Christ. Jesus' ice bucket challenge was the cross. He demonstrated that for all of us to see. The ramifications are still pouring out on us these thousands of years later. His total commitment to reconciling all of mankind back to the Father. Now that is overwhelming love with redeeming power. Paul's ice bucket challenge happened on the road to Damascus. It shocked his sensibilities sideways. He was blind for days, and even after his sight was restored, he was still left off balance because he had been blindsided by the presence and the power of Christ's love and forgiveness. But that wasn't the end of Paul's journey. It was the beginning of Paul's journey. It is not enough to know in our hearts that God is love. It is not enough to know in our hearts that Jesus is Lord. It is not enough to know in our hearts that the Holy Spirit is life. That is only the beginning. Now, Paul took his tag, and he passed it on by challenging all of Asia Minor and then Rome. Paul tagged every person who crossed his path with the message and a challenge. God is love. Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit is life. And guess what? We are tagged to do no less. Tag. You're it should be the hashtag of every Christian in the world community. We are to tag those we meet, tag those we work with, tag those we know and care about, tag those we love. and not with a challenge to dump water over their heads, but with the assurance that they are loved beyond measure by a Savior God. Tag, you are all it. God's love is in your hands. The news that God is love, that Jesus is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is life is waiting to be doused on your neighbor. And believe me, it is a message they need to hear. And that's the real challenge that is facing you this week. Who are you going to tag? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, sometimes we just get so complacent. We just forget. And we pray, Lord, that you would kindle a fire in us to douse all that we come in contact with the message of your love and your grace. We pray it in the name of the one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Now today is our first of the month offering, which goes to benevolence, so please remember that on the way out. But next week, I know it's a weird the way it is, but the way the kids were available next week is Youth Sunday and also the brunch. So remember that you have to eat sometime. So please join us next week. Who's bringing the message, Mark? Kimberly Pimble. Kim Pimble. Oh, my goodness, she's exuberant. Okay, we'll be moved. Also, 2 weeks is Harvest Home, where we bring our non-perishables. What does the food pantry need? Wade's not here. Jeanette's not here. Well, if Wade or Jeanette were here, they would. They would tell us. We had a tragedy with the food pantry in that the freezer died. I heard the women go, "Oh, we know what that means," and it was full of food for the food pantry. It was full of frozen meat for the food pantry, and it was all bad. And so it had to be thrown away. And so I am thinking perhaps canned food. Canned meat, you know, like canned hams, because there's no other freezer right now to put it in. She's getting another freezer, yeah. The government actually provides a lot of the meat, the frozen stuff. But we did lose all of that food from the food pantry, which is so sad. And I think they buried it at Allen's farm. If it grows, you're going to have a tremendous stand. And you know what? 1,000 years from now, they're going to dig that up and they're going to go, "What kind of animal sacrifices went on here?" You know, and it's going to they're going to think we were pagans or something. Well, we're very close, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. So those are some things to remember. Don't forget, and if you want to, you can bring some food. You can bring your food pantry things next week. If you're afraid you're going to forget, put them in my office. No one will notice there's so much junk in there. Prepare your hearts for the benediction. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for you, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen.